Time to say hello to Dr. Mark Welch, Green Marking Specialist, Texas A&M College Station. I took a few days off last week, so it's been a while since we had a chance to visit, Mark.
Has been a bit, Todd, but good to be with you here this morning. Catch up a little bit.
Well, the markets yesterday, we had some interesting stuff going on. We had little chart resistance popping up there and some profit taking before the close of trade yesterday.
Yeah, it's very interesting to kind of see what's going on and looking at when we talk about the trade and markets. I'm going to focus primarily on the December corn contract. That's the one that is kind of the biggest traded, affects other grain markets as well as just, of course, the importance to corn. That's the harvest contract that most of our producers would use, as well as many of our hedging and risk management programs are built in that December contract. And if you look at the seasonal trend, what that contract normally does over its history, typically you see an increase, that price on the December contract runs up between January and about the middle of June, and then it drops off down to around the 4th of July, kind of resets, takes some time, kind of gyrates around, kind of takes a pause, and then typically from that move, it would break lower all the way into late September, early October, and then set your harvest time low, and then get a little bit of a post-harvest rebound as that contract goes into expiration, which is on the 14th of December. And if you line up this year's price action with that seasonal tendency, with the exception that this year we're running a little bit early, we seem to hit the high a little early. We hit this kind of mid-season pause just a little bit early, not much. It's just right on track. So again, it just reveals, I think, so many features of the corn market. First of all, early season, we don't know what we're going to plant. We don't know what the weather's going to be. Corn demand has been pretty strong for corn use numbers for corn. So we see that price in the uncertain part of the first half of the year runs up. Then what happens about the middle of June? We get the acreage report, what farmers are going to plant. And just as we saw a couple of weeks ago now, with the on June 30th, the acreage report, we planted actually more corn than we said we were going to back in March. And that's usually what we do about two-thirds of the time. We plant more corn in June than what we said we were going to do in March. And that's what we did again this year, very, very, very little. But at least we held the same. And then some prices come down. And what happens around the 4th of July? Well, we're reaching that very critical temperature and moisture-sensitive phase of the growth of a corn plant. Silking, tassel silking, starting to work on the filling that ear, the yield potential built into that. And is it going to be too hot, going to be too wet, going to be too dry, going to be too dark at night? Just the market should be uncertainty at this particular time of the year. And we had a weather scare for what might a heat dome set across much of the Corn Belt later this month. So the market's trying to decide, is that going to hold or not? Well, we still don't know, of course, but to getting some pretty good moisture across the Corn Belt, I think some of that concern may have eased a little bit, and typically it does. Typically we do get the weather we need to make the crop. Doesn't mean it's going to be every year. Doesn't mean it still couldn't turn in August. But again, the market's just kind of playing out to what it would normally do. And so to see traders or try to explain market action around technical signals when the market is doing exactly technically what you would expect it to do, it makes a very reasonable explanation, even though it's backed up by fundamentals. So that's a long answer to a short question, but I think it is interesting to see at this point the corn market's just kind of playing out just like it normally does.
Last week up at the farm in central Iowa, 2 to 10 inches of rain fell across basically from Ames to Fort Dodge, and a lot of corn and beans getting drowned out now and replant going on and kind of a mess.
Wow. Well, I'd heard some concern of too wet, and I didn't hear those kind of numbers. Yeah, that's incredible.
A lot of flooding in that area last week.
Right. Good grief. And so weather extremes and intensities, to look at a weather map or weather charts and say, oh, well, they're running above average rainfall. Everything must be good. Well, not necessarily. But again, we're right in that part of the season. We're trying to figure all this out. And to see the market catch a little bit of ground, we've fallen from over $5 on this contract in the middle of May. Now traded just a couple of days. We traded below 430 on that December contract, bouncing back up to 460. And then, where do we go from here? If now that we've pretty well established that we did plant 95 million acres of corn, if we do hit that national average yield that USDA plugged in at the early part of this year of 183 bushels per acre, that's going to be a big corn crop, and that's going to put downward pressure on the price. I don't expect the futures price to hold at 450 a bushel if those two factors, if we planted 95 and the yield's 183, given our current use numbers, I don't expect 450 corn to hold. I think we could be a good bit lower. But we don't have to take that yield off much to support prices, kind of around where they are or even higher. So again, that's the degree of uncertainty we have this time of year. Again, most of the time, the weather cooperates. We make a crop, and the price goes lower from this point in early July by the time we get to September, October. Doesn't mean it always happens, but I think that's what the futures market is reflecting, is that we're just kind of trying to make sense of what the weather forecast looks like moving ahead, because it does look like we got the acres.
What about export numbers coming out today?
Boy, corn exports for that old crop marketing year continue to be really strong. Of course, USDA will get a new WASD tomorrow, and it'll reflect a couple of things. For old crop corn, it will reflect this export pace. I think it will reflect the grain stocks report that also came out on June 30th. Which continue to show record levels of corn disappearance quarter by quarter in the old marketing year. So I think we can see that ending stock number for the 25 crop actually go down a little bit based on this strong export pace as we're using up that old crop and going into the new one. So that could lower the supply of the 26 crop and kind of help the balance sheet there. The other thing I would look for then for new crop corn would be whether that adjusts export expectations into the new year or not. And because I can't speculate on that, USDA's got us a little bit lower than a year ago. It looks like we're going to have plenty of export competition from around the world. But yes, that strong pace of old crop sales has been really significant. And when that WASD comes out, if I'm looking for some changes in the use categories for corn, I think that that export number certainly could be friendly to the market when that report comes out.
Well, what's the corn crop look at around your part of the country?
It's ready to cut. There's still some around Green and College Station and a little bit north. Over the 4th, we went down south of College Station a couple of hours, kind of that coastal bend country. Drove along the coast, and the corn looked ready to cut. I only saw one combine actually sitting on the edge of the field. They weren't pulling into the field on July the 4th, but they were ready to, and the corn sure looked like it was ready. Looked like it had dried down completely. Grain looks like mature, ready to go. So it looks like a good crop. My understanding is if you get down on Corpus, conditions are a lot more variable over in that part of the world. When you got planted, there's been a lot of insect pressure, I think particularly on the sorghum crop, that's going to make the yields highly variable over there. It's not that farmers didn't know they needed to be treating, but getting timely application, getting the spray equipment in the field when it needed to be there, given how busy they were, I think we're going to see a yield hit there because of insect pressure. But generally speaking, I think the corn and sorghum crops in the central part of Texas along the coastal bend look really, really good. South Texas was probably the moisture was too late. I haven't heard specifically. That grain ought to be out of the field by now, and I haven't heard yield numbers there. Of course, they were dry really, really early, and so it may have really put them behind the eight ball if you're trying to get anything up and going for this season. So I haven't heard. But generally speaking, I would expect really good grain production numbers for corn and sorghum at this point for Central Texas and the Coastal Bend.
Any news on the Master Marketer program for you guys?
You know, we don't have anything set up right now. We've had some inquiries. What we're looking that really makes it successful for us are local partners. For instance, a co-op or an implement dealer, someone like that that has a customer base that says, you know what, our folks need to hear this program, and we're going to help promote it, and we'll sponsor it, and you guys come in and provide the content. Yeah, that's a model that's worked really good for us. So if anybody out there is interested in visiting with us about that, love to have that conversation. Again, we've had a couple of inquiries, but nothing really take hold as of yet. Our first ones in that regard would typically be back again in that Coastal Bend country, October, November, even then down in the South Texas. You know, their crop is out. They're making their plans, of course, for the new year. That time of year, and then we start moving up into San Angelo, up in the Vernon, Wichita Falls country, back up toward Lubbock and Amarillo, as then we move into winter for those planning meetings. So that's the calendar that typically works, but at this point it's all still up in the air. But we're looking for those partners that would be interested in having us bring what we think is some critical risk management information around production, around price, around risk management tools like farm program selection, crop insurance choices. We have so many more options now through crop insurance that are more affordable that perhaps we hadn't considered in the past that I think could be very viable for us to give us an extra layer of risk protection. A lot of good stuff. So we look forward to having those programs and meetings, certainly as we get a little later into the year.
So we're hanging out at that 451 level on December corn right now. For the rest of this month, what do you think is going to be happening on that range for December?
Again, typically, by the time you break the middle of July, those weather concerns tend to fade, and the price starts to drift lower between now and the end of September. And just based on probabilities and likelihoods, that's what I expect on that contract setting here today. But of course, that can change with the next weather system that moves in, sets in, and starts to disrupt that yield outlook. But at this point, those crop condition ratings that come out every Monday, I think, give a critical level of insight in what to expect. They're a boots-on-the-ground assessment of how the corn crop is doing. It's not a prediction of how it's going to do, but at least it gives you some firm information around how it is. And to see two-thirds of the U.S. corn crop in good and excellent condition, that's a high enough rating to probably support, in my mind, that would support USDA's yield estimate of 183 bushels per acre. If we can seem to see good and excellent conditions, holding at 70%, about two-thirds of the U.S. corn crop, that ought to be good enough to give us 183 bushels. And in my mind, that would put downward pressure on this price. You start to see that those crop conditions start to fade, start to break down, then this thing could take off.
Well, it's been a hot week here already, so I guess it is July. That means hot and dry conditions usually.
Well, it kind of does. it's intense, and it can be uncomfortable, but it's normal. It's kind of what we do and when we do it. But again, to the degree of intensity and the duration of these events, in this world in which we do seem to have that, the climate change impacts seem to be adding that level of intensity around whether it's a dry or a wet event. Certainly have consequences around agricultural production. And so certainly that's running in the background of any particular day's market outlook and market forecast.
Dr. Mark Welch, Green Marketing Specialist, Texas A&M, with us on Thursday. Give out your contact, and we'll give you a holler next week.
All right. Sounds good, Todd. Look forward to that. And, if you'd love to keep the conversation going, any questions you might have, the best way to do that would be shoot me an email at jmwelch@tamu.edu. Thank you much.